We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of 30 Minutes of Hell. I am your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. We are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, all under 30 Minutes of Hell. And we appreciate you guys tuning in to talk some Razorback basketball with us. We've got a lot to talk about this week. Arkansas had another pretty disappointing week, lost two games. First game was abysmal. We'll get into that in a second. The second game was a lot better. Hogs still ended up losing, but showed a lot better effort. We'll have a lot more positive things to say about that one. There's only two games left in the season. We'll get into a little bit of a preview about those and what we can expect from the Hogs. And then it's time to talk about the SEC tournament, because that's really all we're playing for at this point, is just to make a run in the tournament. That's all that's left to salvage this season. So let's jump right into it. To start things off this week, Arkansas suffered arguably the worst loss in the Eric Musselman era. One of their, if I'm not mistaken, their only quadrant four loss in the Eric Musselman era. And it was just a terrible effort all around against Vanderbilt at home. And just an uninspired game, not a lot of energy from anybody, not a lot of good scoring or efficiency from most players. Tron Mark goes 3 of 11 from the field. We're used to seeing him be a lot better than that. Talk about what the heck happened with this. Is it just bad effort? Is it just one of those games that we've come to expect from this team?
Yeah, it was just, like you said, incredibly poor effort. You know, you spoke on it, Brandon, last episode. You know, we can't gloss over this one. We're looking forward to Kentucky, but we can't forget about Vanderbilt. And that's exactly what happened, is we came in thinking that it would be an easy win from what it looked like happened. They came in thinking that it would be an easy win, and they got their butts handed to them. Battle was really the only bright spot in the matchup. You know, I think we got 19 points out of L. Ellis, but which is great. You know, we haven't seen a ton out of him offensively, but I hated how we let the game get away from us, and then we fight and claw our way back, which never should have happened in the first place. And then on our final possession, after Battle hits an unreal three to bring it within 3 points, Mark's the one who throws up the buzzer beater to send it into overtime instead of our, you know, player who dropped 36 points that game. I didn't like the decision-making. I didn't like the effort. It was just, there's not much more to say about a loss like this, you know?
Joe, you had more words than I did. I'll say that much. That there's really no words that can explain how pitiful that game was. I feel like not only on the play, just how casual we played, but also just you would think that we'd be better prepared on the coaching standpoint. It would have been drilled into their heads like, hey, Vandy has come and whooped our butts, what, now 3 times in a row? I mean, come on. It's Vandy. Yeah. We should not be losing to Vandy, no matter if we're top of the top or bottom of the bottom. We should not be losing to Vandy. And all disrespect towards Vanderbilt with that being said too, but
Yeah,
it's just
it's the first time in history that Vanderbilt's beaten the Hogs 3 times in a row, and also the first time they've won 2 in a row at Bud Walton.
yeah,
So.
it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. There is no reason for that. Like Joey said, the one bright spot. Thank you, Battle, for allowing me to watch this game to the end.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, just poor effort. Poor, poor effort. And
Yeah.
it's just the tail of the season, you know.
Yeah, but Caleb Battle was a bright spot indeed, though. One game removed from going for 40 plus, he drops 36 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, over 50% from the field, 40% from long range, and drew 17 free throw attempts and hit 82% of them. He's just been on an absolute tear. We're going to talk about him again in the next recap against Kentucky, but just 3 games in a row now that he's gone for 30 plus, and just how important is it for him to play so well? I know that at this point, nothing is that important for the season as a whole, but in terms of the confidence of this team, how important is it for Battle? Really, we needed somebody, anybody to get going, but it feels like Battle is contagious when he's out there and gets hot like this. How big has that been for this team?
Just absolutely huge. I mean, his confidence, like you said, it's contagious. And if he's hitting, we just play better. And I think that's in a large part because when he is scoring well, his defense is better. And all three of us know from experience that when we are scoring the ball, when anybody's scoring the ball, our defense is much better because we're feeling confident, we're more aggressive because we want that ball back. And I could see that. Battle's energy changed completely on defense. Where we once looked at him as a complete liability, he has become almost essential in that area because he's scoring so well and taking that towards the defensive side too. And I mean, shoot, had 3 steals, doing great on the defensive end. I just love his attitude, his effort, everything about him as of late, and I really wish that we would have been able to see that all throughout the season, and that's not all on him.
Yeah, and Matt, I'm gonna pull from a quote that you said last week. The guy bleeds Razorback red. You can tell that he puts it all out on the court every night that he's out there for the Hogs. And going off of what you said, it's not all his fault. I fully 100% believe that we'd be looking at a much different record right now if coaching would have let him, shoot his way out of those 2 to 3 games early in the season rather than benching him. I think I texted it to y'all. I'll never forgive Musselman for not letting that happen because, I mean, we've seen what happens when you give Battle the green light. Brandon, do you have the numbers for what he's averaging over these last 3 to 4 games?
Yeah, let me pull that up for you.
He's just unreal right now, and he's an NBA caliber guy when he's hot. Emphasis on when he's hot, because like you said, Matt, he plays better defensively. He's looking to draw fouls. He's looking to, they mentioned it in the Kentucky game that he's one of those guys that he uses his jump shot to open up, the opportunities to drive and draw fouls. And
Right.
he's just one of those guys that can score at all levels. Did he go perfect from the floor free throw shooting against Kentucky, or he missed
Pretty
one free
close.
throw?
17 of 18 against Kentucky,
There
yeah.
we go. Yeah, he's one of those guys that can get it done, and when he's hot. He can't be stopped.
Yeah.
So definitely, makes us a better team.
Yeah, over his last 3 games, that's 37.3 points, 6.7 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 2 steals, shooting 58% from the field, 92% from the free throw line, and almost 46% from three. So
That man
just
should have been
phenomenal. Phenomenal.
hot. Yeah, he should have been
Phenomenal.
given the green light long before 3 games ago.
Thank you,
Yeah.
Statman.
Yeah. That's why I asked him.
Yeah. Well, that's really all that I care to talk about that game. I mean, we've touched on everything we can. Battle, phenomenal. L. Ellis, a little bit better scoring. Everything else, just out the window, man. Forget about it. But the next game, Arkansas loses as well by single digits, but it was one of their better games of the season. They're on the road at Rupp Arena, playing against one of the best teams in the SEC, and they gave them everything they could handle for 37 minutes of this game. I was very impressed with the all-around effort from the Hogs. There was just a lapse towards the end where they kind of let go of things and started. They turned the ball over one too many times, committed some fouls, let up some easier buckets. But Arkansas scores 102 points against Kentucky, only their second time all season scoring 100 points. And as a team, they shoot 53% from the field, 41% from deep, and a crazy 96% from the free throw line. Wow. I know most of that is battle, going 17 of 18. But that's the first time all season that Arkansas has put up those numbers in the same game in terms of just shooting and scoring. And so just easily the best offensive performance of the season from Arkansas. Give me your thoughts on Arkansas's offense this game.
Yeah, it's definitely one of our better outings. You know, the only other one that I see close to that is the UNCW game where, you know, we put up 106, but obviously that's not to anywhere near the caliber of a Kentucky game. But it's so tough whenever you see your team play an outstanding 40 minutes of basketball and then, you know, drop it there at the end just because another team got hot. And that's exactly what happened is Kentucky got hot when it mattered. I went back and looked at the play-by-play. Kentucky went on a 13-4 run under 5 minutes to play to give themselves the lead. And those 4 points from Arkansas came strictly from free throws. And we didn't hit a field goal until Mark hit a field goal with a minute 30 left. And then to close out the game, Mitchell had a dunk with 30 seconds left, and Battle had a garbage layup with, you know, under 10 seconds left. So in those final 5 minutes, they stopped us and they hit shots. And it's just, it's so hard to see whenever, like I said, you play such a great game all around, and then it just comes down to one team getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, that game just really killed me. I really wanted us to pull that one out. I think this game we really saw the Hogs playing with playing desperate, you know, really just playing desperate, and in a good way. They were playing very well, very aggressive, very they seemed ready, they seemed awake. And of course it's a big game. I mean, you're away, you're at Kentucky, one of the greatest places to play at, and they played well. And sadly, yeah, like you said, Kentucky just started tearing us up. They were hitting everything. There were some plays where we were playing great. These just lapses on defense. And can't look away from how amazing our free throw shooting was. I know Brandon mentioned a lot of it was to Battle. And Joey, that's where they mentioned Battle goes in trying to draw contact, not trying to make a shot. And you could tell, I mean, there's a lot of his shots that he goes in and he's like, you're like, he's not going to make that one, but he gets a foul call. And that was huge for us. Sadly, calls didn't go our way towards the end. And calls started going towards Kentucky, and we were just playing pretty much not to foul. And I think that's where our defense started taking a hit, because we were now playing less aggressive on the defensive end. And I think we ended with, what, 26 fouls?
It also doesn't help that, you know, we had two guys foul out. All three of our bigs were, you know, on the chopping block for most of the game with foul trouble. You know, it was just, you know, the yeah. Zebras didn't give us the chance there.
No, they did not. Two guys foul out and three different guys finished with four fouls each. It's tough.
It's tough.
And Musselman said post game too, speaking to that point, you know, he was doing his best to dance around a potential fine, but you know, he talks about, he said, you know, you look at the field goals where it's 34-34 in terms of made shots. You look at the three pointers, they made 9, we made 7, and we took less threes, so we shot almost a similar percentage. Rebounding pretty close for the Hogs, only got out rebounded by 7, but the free throw attempts, 42-28 free throw attempts.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, that is
horrible. 28 is a high number. Arkansas is among the league leaders in free throw attempts, and that is well above their average. 42? That's unreal.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, and, I'm not one of those guys to, I am one of those guys to blame the refs a lot, but but really though, this is one of those that it just like hits you. You're like, man, there, that seemed a little bit skewed there, but yeah. You get what you get in the SEC, you know?
Yeah, you can discount a few of those to Arkansas trying to pull back into it late,
Right.
but maybe six, five of them. If you want to knock it all the way down to 35 free throw attempts, that's still a crazy number.
Yeah,
But
and we
in
had
crucial moments, crucial moments.
and we had some a flagrant, a couple technicals, you got to throw that.
Things that shouldn't happen, but you got to be a little bit more careful there. But I get it. It's whatever.
And Caleb Battle goes off again. Who would have thought? 34 points, a season high, 8 rebounds, had a couple of steals and assists, 50% from the field. Just incredible outing again. He's the first Hog since Mason Jones to go for three straight 30 plus games. And he's just really done a lot of it at the free throw line. We've been talking about how good he's been at drawing the fouls and converting once he gets there, shooting 92% from the free throw line over his last four games at over almost 15 attempts per game by himself. That's more than a lot of teams in the country. So just a huge performance from Battle once again. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Brazil and get your thoughts on him because he came into this game starting for the first time in a while. Goes 3 of 3 right out of the, right off the jump. I thought he started really well. It looked like he was gonna have a really nice game and then picked up two fouls really early. But it seems like he's really fitting back in more seamlessly than I thought he might. I was worried about what his return was going to do to the rotation and guys like Mekhi Mitchell, who've been playing very well lately. But he seems to be kind of fitting back into the role that he needs to be in. Not the dominant all-SEC type of player that we once thought he might be, but into a role that's beneficial. He's hitting threes. They're using him a little bit in pick and roll. He's catching it and making pretty good decisions. He even attacked off the bounce a couple of times, just back to blocking shots. And as long as he is not a net negative defensively, he's still very useful, even when he's not living up to the hype we thought he was going to hit this year. What are y'all's thoughts on Brazil coming back and how he's kind of merged back in with this group?
It's almost like he's taken the pressure off of himself to be the best player. I think he came into this season kind of not necessarily cocky, but a little cocky, I mean, he's coming into this with, potential to be a Naismith Player of the Year. And I think that, he's seen the team thrive without him. And he's maybe just kind of taking a back seat and letting the game come to him more, which is exactly what we need. He's flowing into the offense better. He's making better decisions offensively. He's getting to the bucket. He's not taking crazy attempts. I think he's flowing into things a little better now.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, he's playing the game I think he wanted to play. I don't think he ever really wanted to be the star, and he really is playing the game he wants to play, just flowing into the offense. And we saw that last year, the few games he did play, he wasn't necessarily the one that we were eyeing to be the star, but he thrived when he wasn't looked at as the star. And teams weren't prepared for him that way, and I think that's how he needs to be.
All right, Matt, another question for you before we move on real quick here. It's hard to go into a game like this where you have a chance to win, you're up on one of the best teams in the conference going late into the game, and so frustrating to lose it the way that they did. How do you bounce back from something like this when you're a team that's fighting for nothing? You're desperate just to try to get good enough to make a run in the tournament. What do you do at this point to stay motivated and bounce back next game?
Shoot, man. I mean, you just got to play for the name on your chest, you really do. And I think they showed that fight against Kentucky.
They
And
did.
I feel knowing how well you played against one of the best teams in the country right now, take that into the SEC tournament and whip some butt. I mean, play, like I said, for that name on your chest. Show us that you want to be a Razorback. End on the highest note you possibly can. If that's winning out, my goodness. Hallelujah. But just do what you can, Don't
Just
give up.
pride.
Don't give up. Play for pride.
All right. Well, we're gonna take one quick break right now, but we're gonna be right back with a preview of the next two games, the final two regular season games before the SEC tournament kicks off. Up first will be LSU, the Hogs' final home game of the season. So we'll be right back with an LSU preview right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Arkansas gets back into action against LSU, a rematch against, honestly, the only team over these last 10 games or so that has really just given Arkansas more trouble than they can handle for a full 40 minutes since Arkansas has kind of turned a corner and become more competitive. I know that they had the 29-point loss to Tennessee, but they trailed by only 6 at halftime in that game. That was a competitive game for a long time, for 25-plus minutes, and then Tennessee just went crazy on that run, and Arkansas loses by almost 30. But LSU led that first matchup pretty much from start to finish, really handled the Hogs, 20-plus point loss. And I know that Arkansas is going to be hungry for revenge in this game, just mainly because of that. But, I mean, it's also LSU. It's your last home game. You know, there's a lot of factors. Again, exactly what Matt just closed on right there, pride, still playing for themselves and trying to show that effort and continue to close on a high note. But a lot of storylines heading into this game, and I think it could really be an exciting one, especially if we get the Arkansas team that's desperate and showed up like they did against Kentucky. Couple of key guys to touch on. Will Baker doesn't have a very high season average, but he scored 25 against Arkansas, hit 4 of 5 from three. So that'll be an interesting matchup with Brazil back in the lineup. Maybe Jalen Graham comes back for this game. It'll just kind of be interesting to see how Musselman's game plan might change a little bit around Will Baker because he hurt us so much last time. Or maybe it was a fluke and they just game plan like they normally would. I don't know. That's something I'll be paying attention to, though. And then Jordan Wright, their leading scorer, averaging about 15 points per game. He was actually very inefficient against Arkansas in the first time around. So it'll be interesting to see that defensive matchup, if they can continue to limit him and not let him get going, because he is kind of the catalyst for this team a lot of the time. And then the guy that also really hurt Arkansas, actually probably would be LSU's leading scorer if he didn't miss so many games this year, is Jalen Cook. Scored 20 points off the bench against the Hogs, and he hasn't played since, I think it's February 13th. He's carried a questionable designation into his last couple of games, and they've just kind of been calling him day to day, but there's been no signal about whether he'll play or not against Arkansas this time around. So if he does play, definitely somebody to keep an eye on. Can't let him come off the bench and hurt you again, but there's a chance that he doesn't play. Maybe Arkansas catches a little bit of a break. LSU is down a scorer. But what are y'all's thoughts on LSU and heading into this game, continuing off of what we're talking about, what to play for at this point?
I mean, LSU is pretty similar to Arkansas in the fact that you never really know what you're going to get with them. I went back and looked at their games in February, and they're pretty polarizing results. You know, they don't ever have a 5 to 10 point loss or win. It's either they're in a tight game and it's coming down to the wire, they're blowing a team out, or they're getting blown out. You know, there's no real in between. You know, we had a 21 point loss to them early in February. LSU had a 20-point loss to Tennessee, a 17-point loss to Bama, a 2-point win to Florida, a 1-point win to South Carolina, a 1-point win to Kentucky, a 20-point loss to Mississippi State, and then a 1-point win to Georgia. So they're kind of either they're coming, they're ready to play, and they're blowing teams out. They're kind of hanging with teams and getting close wins, or they're getting the crap stomped out of them. But they're in that middle of the pack fight for a seeding right now for the SEC tournament, potential NCAA tournament seeding. These last couple games, these last two games, they can either result in a 7 seed for LSU or a 10 seed, you know, and that's, you know, dramatic for a lot of teams. So it's either they're going to come in and they think that they have 2 bye weeks playing Arkansas and then Mizzou in their last game, or they're going to come in thinking, okay, it's time to really turn on the boosters and you know, knock their teeth in. So I'm really hoping for the former. I'm hoping that they're coming in thinking that this is going to be a cakewalk and we stomp them. I'm hoping that we, you know, get a good 15-point win. But we can't be similar to Vandy and Kentucky. We can't be coming to this LSU game looking forward to Alabama and looking forward to the SEC tournament and, you know, just glazing over LSU. We've got to start. We thought that we were there a couple games ago where we were building our momentum and hitting this final stretch push. But we really need to do that right now if we want a good spot in the SEC tournament and a chance to win the thing. You know, we got to get on a run and, you know, momentum, us three, we know everything about momentum with, you know, catching wins, getting in a good groove and moving forward. We can't be inconsistent. Like, now's the time to put all of our eggs in the basket and really get out there and show what we're made of. I think we saw it against Kentucky. Kentucky was the best game that we've played all season, all around, not just offensively, but all around. And I think that Mus is telling his guys, okay, yeah, that loss sucks. We know what we're made of now. Let's go out and let's win these last two games. Let's win the SEC tournament. Let's get an NCAA tournament bid.
I agree. There's not really much else to be said about that. Don't let the bench players get us and don't get surprised. You know, just be ready.
Yeah. And after that game, a very similar situation to what we talked about with Vanderbilt. You know, LSU, like you said, it's kind of middle of the pack, kind of trying to fight their way up towards the middle of the SEC, but they're not the same team, the same caliber of team that Alabama is. And that's where Arkansas goes to finish their season. And so, very similar thing. You cannot overlook the team in front of you because the next game is a bigger, you know, a better team that you're playing against. They've got, and I don't think they will so much this time. That I hope they learn their lesson. It's the last home game, the revenge factor against LSU. I think a lot of those things will make this a very good game, and I think Arkansas will be ready to play. But for our sake, after that game, Alabama is the last game on the schedule. Arkansas travels to Tuscaloosa, one of the hottest teams in the league, one of the fastest paced teams in the country, incredibly high scoring team. That's going to be a very difficult game to win on the road, even just to keep up with Alabama from a scoring standpoint. And if Arkansas shows up like they did against Kentucky, because Alabama's not like an overly great defensive team the same way Kentucky's not. They're an incredibly good offensive team and well-rounded enough that they've put themselves in a very good position this year. But either way, it's going to be a very tough game to win on the road. And maybe that's exactly what Arkansas needs, because they seem to only show up at their best whenever it's, you know, the lights are the brightest and they're playing the best team. So maybe we'll get another really good game out of this one. And like Joey said, try to build a little bit of momentum going into the tournament, but it's going to be a tough week to close things out. LSU is no slouch. And like I said, Bama's probably a top 2 team, top 3 at worst in the SEC. So Matt, I'll start with you on this. What is Arkansas's record over these last 2 games?
I'm going to be the bad guy and say 0-2. I don't think we win either of them.
Okay. All right, Joey, what about you?
Well, you know, now that Matt said 0-2, we're going to go 2-0. So, but I'm going to say 1-1. I think we still win against LSU. I think, you know, we've got their number on our backs and we're going to grab one against them. But I, as well as we play, I don't see us beating Alabama. They're just a great, great team.
Yeah. We're going 2-0 this week. So,
okay.
I think okay. there's not how else is this weird ass team going to end the season with all of their ups and downs and inconsistencies other than beating Alabama on the road for the final game of the year? There's no better, there's no more fitting ending to this season.
Well, right, now that Joey spit out my tactic of saying they're going to go 0-2, now it's going to actually happen.
Well, one of us is going to be right, so y'all go tell at B Baker Hogs on Twitter who's right.
Yeah. All right, well, it's going to be a tough end to the regular season for the Hogs, but even tougher than that is going to be their next challenge, which is to try to make a run in the SEC tournament. their last hope at salvaging this season. They've got to make it. They've literally got to make it all the way if they want to do anything else outside of the SEC tournament. And we're going to look at their most likely matchups and kind of their path through the tournament as of now. Of course, that can change with upsets and whoever may or may not win over this last week. But we're going to take one more quick break, and then we're going to come right back and talk a little bit about the SEC tournament.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, let's get into it. Arkansas has to win the SEC tournament to salvage their season and get an NCAA tournament bid. Not looking great, especially considering that Arkansas is now locked into playing on Wednesday, meaning they will be one of the bottom four seeds. I believe, given the scenarios, they can be anywhere from 11 to 13 right now. The most likely scenario being that they stay at 11. I think that Vandy and Georgia would both have to win out to go to put Arkansas all the way down at 13, and I don't think that's very likely, regardless of who they play. So given that Arkansas, with the most likely scenario that Arkansas beats LSU but then loses their final game against Alabama, you would be looking at Arkansas versus Missouri in the first round, 11 seed versus 14 seed. I feel all right about that game. Missouri sucks. And I know that we have not played well against some bad teams this year, but I think that with the focus on the line, with literal desperation, win or go home, I think the lights will be bright enough that I'm not super worried about that game. Knock on wood, that'll probably be the game we lose. But for our sake, we're hoping they can take care of business there. Looking ahead, the most likely opponent is probably Florida. I believe if Florida loses out and Kentucky wins both games, which Kentucky still has Tennessee on their schedule, so it's not a given that they do. I think Kentucky and Florida would switch, and we could see Kentucky as the sixth seed. But I think that the most likely right now would be for Florida to be that sixth seed that Arkansas would face in the next round. I don't love that because Florida always seems to have our number. And I understand that we just lost to Kentucky for the second time this season, but I would almost be okay with getting them a third time rather than having to go against Florida again.
I'm with you, Brandon, 100%. I would rather have Kentucky in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, if it plays out exactly how you say, I would almost rather Georgia and or Vandy win out so we can be in that other bracket. Just to make sure that we do play Kentucky. It's hard to beat a good team, if you want to consider us that, three times. So
that's true. You know. And it's been close games twice now. We've given Kentucky everything they can handle for most of two games, and they pulled away late in both games. So maybe on the neutral site, maybe we can take them and avoid a 3-0 sweep on the season.
But, I agree with you.
And so in that hypothetical scenario, I wouldn't really look much past the first two, but given everything else plays out as expected, so you know the favorite would win all the other games, and Arkansas does go 1-1 this week, they would most likely get Auburn as the 3 seed in the third round of the tournament. Also, don't really love that because I think Bruce Pearl is a good coach, and to give him that much time to prep, give him like a good 6 days to prep. Don't love that. I think I would rather have South Carolina, which is where they would be if Arkansas did drop down to 12 or 13, like Matt said. Because right now, I mean, we're looking at, so we got this here in front of me. If Arkansas is the 11 seed and everything else goes, it, you know, stands pat, It would be Missouri first round, then Florida, then Auburn. Whereas if you do drop down to that 12 or 13, you either get Georgia or Vandy, whichever one stays there, Kentucky next, and South Carolina after that. And I, as weird as it is, I think I do prefer that, Matt, that path to Florida and Auburn. What do you, I mean, do you guys agree with that?
I completely agree.
Yeah, I do too.
Go ahead, Matt.
Just because of, I feel like the teams in the bracket that we currently are looking at hate us. The other teams, I feel like, are a little bit less rival oriented. So I have a little bit more confidence in that, but.
I will hop out and say we are a much, much different team than when we got our butts handed to us by Auburn early in the season. So that may come into effect, you know, maybe, you know, how we've been playing will kind of run over into that compared to how we were early on in the season. But I agree. I would rather have either Georgia, Vandy, Kentucky, South Carolina. I just think that that's a much more forgiving matchup than the trail that we're on now.
Yeah. And one last point I want to make before we close out here. None of this matters if they go ahead and get beat by Missouri. It's the same situation we've been talking about.
Here we are.
Yeah. And I mean, it's exactly what we talked about last week with it's a little different situation, but when you have Vanderbilt up next and Kentucky on the horizon, they overlooked Vanderbilt. They didn't come out ready to play. So when you go into the SEC tournament playing against 14 seed Missouri that has no SEC wins, and you've got, you know, potentially Florida, potentially Kentucky up next, you can't overlook who's in front of you or else none of it matters. And then the whole season is gone. I mean, it's a long shot that they get all the way to the end anyways, but man, it would suck to go out to the 14 seed on the first day of the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm. We'll take divine intervention or me betting on them to,
which is basically the same thing.
Yeah. So I might as well, if I bet against Arkansas,
take that every emotional game. Edge.
Yeah, I'll take the financial hit if we can win.
You heard it here first. Donate to Matt's Venmo, Cash App, PayPal.
Straight up,
give him all your money so he can put down big bets on Arkansas to lose.
Drop a link in the bio. Yeah. All right, guys, that's all we got for this week. One more week of the season, and then we'll be talking a little bit of postseason ball next weekend. And then we'll be on to portal season, and we'll try to be bringing you guys as much content as we can about the transfers hitting the portal, potential coaching carousel, all of the guys that could be leaving Arkansas. It's going to be a weird offseason. I can already feel it coming. So we'll be bringing you as much info as we can on that. But until next time, we appreciate you talking Arkansas basketball with us. Reminder, we're brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, Apple Music under 30 Minutes of Hell. I've been your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. And as always, go Hogs.
Thanks, everyone.
Go big.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.